We thank you. We can say, Abba, Father. You are our Father, and you are good, and you're good to us. You love us all because you so love the world. You said, Jesus. Now, Lord, I thank you for your Holy Spirit, who's the teacher, who's with us in this place. I thank you for your glory that's in this place. I thank you for the spirit of praise that's in this place, Lord. Now, we ask that you accomplish your will, Jesus. And it's for your glory, and it's in your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Wow. I think that's the first time Pastor ever told that story of how we met. Go, Pastor. Because I'm usually the one who tell it. Woo! Hallelujah. I'll tell it to the singers sometime. Mm-hmm. It's supernatural. Mm-hmm. But anyway, today I want to talk to you about the praise benefit. Pastor started talking about praise last week and asked me if I would continue. The praise benefit. The Lord gives us benefits. In Psalms it says, forget not his benefits. And praise brings the presence of the Lord. See, there are breakthroughs in praise. I said there are breakthroughs in praise. I'm going to tell you about some of them. And of course, in Psalm 22:3, it says, he inhabits the praises of his people. God has given us everything we need for this life. Now, go with me in your Bibles to Psalm 9, and we'll look at verse 1 through 3. Psalm 9. And if you will stand with me for the reading of the word. That's Psalm 9, verse 1 through 3. And it says, I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. In other words, the word tells us we to love the Lord with our whole spirits and soul and mind. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high. And verse 3, when my enemies are turned back, they shall fall and perish at thy presence. You may be seated. That's the one I really want you to see, verse 3. My enemies, when they are turned back, they fall and perish at the presence of the Lord. There is no enemy that can stand up before the presence of the Lord. And we're to learn to lean on that presence. And see, when the enemy attacks us with problems, situations, storms, or whatever, there's a tendency for us not to want to praise because we get afraid or we become discouraged and we're thinking, oh, God is not going to help me. There will be a fear that God won't be in your future. Now, how many of you know all fear comes from the devil? 2 Timothy 1:7 says, God didn't give us the spirit of fear, but power, love, and a sound mind. And so when we're being tempted not to praise God, we're thinking, well, he may not do what I need him to do. But see, that's a lie from the enemy. Your most valuable possession in life. I know some of you thought it was money, but it's not. Your most valuable possession is God's presence. Having his daily presence with you. Having his presence with you 24/7. Now, some people are afraid of the presence of the Lord. Back when I was in Tulsa, I invited a co-worker to church. And when she came into the church, she would just get up and leave. And she kept doing that. And finally, I asked her, I said, why do you get up and just leave? And she told me she was afraid she would sense the presence of the Lord in that church, and she was afraid of the presence. And the enemy, can you imagine that? Making a person afraid, that's what can help the person, the presence of the Lord, the power of the Lord can help a person. But the enemy was trying to cut her off from that presence through fear. Now, if you're still in Psalms, flip forward because I love this one. Psalm 16:11. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. At thy right hand, there are pleasures forevermore. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence, there's fullness of joy. And he's given us his presence. So do you know what that means, saints? Every day of your life, you to walk filled with the joy of the Lord. You to walk filled with the joy of the Lord. He's given it to us. In Galatians 5:23, it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. He's given us love, joy, peace, joy. Did you know joy is the presence of the Lord? Did you know love is the presence of the Lord? Peace is the presence of the Lord. That bears witness with your spirit that he's there with you. When you're going through your worst storm and you have joy, circumstances don't have the power to take your joy. Now let's look at 1 Thessalonians. I love this one. Because your praise, if you're going to have true praise, it has to be built on the word. It has to be established on the word. Because if God hadn't given us his word, you wouldn't have nothing to praise for. Amen. I said, if he hadn't given us his word, you wouldn't have anything to praise for. But he's given us his word. 1 Thessalonians 5, we'll start at verse 16. It says, rejoice evermore. Ooh, that's a good commandment. Some people don't like God telling them what to do. But that's a good thing. He said, rejoice evermore. Pray without ceasing. And everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And everything give thanks. Now some people get that mixed up. And they think it means thank him for everything. The sickness on your body, thank him for the sickness. No, you don't thank God for sickness and disease. He didn't give you that sickness and disease. The sickness came from the devil. Jesus said, the thief comes not but to steal, kill, and to destroy. I've come that you may have life and have it more abundantly. So anything that's stealing from you or killing you, that's from the devil. You don't thank God for that. But anything that's giving you life, that's coming from Jesus because he came to give us life. And that's what you're to thank him for. But isn't that powerful? Rejoice evermore. Yes. That's a commandment, saints, in case you didn't know it. We're to rejoice at all times. That's our power. Now, flip back to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians 4. Philippians 4, 4. And it says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. So to praise means to rejoice. And it tells you what you're to rejoice in. Not in yourself or what somebody's done for you, given something to you, and somebody give you something. He says, rejoice in the Lord. You may not even have food on your table. But according to the word, that you to rejoice in the Lord, and you can because it comes up out of your spirit. See, you are a spirit. You have a soul made up of your mind and intellect, and you live in the body. And see, rejoicing comes up out of your spirit as you yield to that. And now flip back to Ephesians 5. Ephesians 5. Because I really like this one, Ephesians 5, verse 18. And it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess. Mm-hmm. Some people, you know, when they go through their problems, they have to get drunk. Am I not right? Mm-hmm. They get drunk to forget their problems. But that's only for a moment. Because once they become sober again, the problem is still there. But the word says, be not drunk with wine, where is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Ooh, did you know there's a such thing as getting drunk in the Spirit? Yeah, so some of y'all know that. Yeah, there's a such thing as getting drunk in the Spirit, where you start laughing and you can't hardly stand up, rocking and reeling, and that's a good thing. Then it says, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, offering up thanksgiving. Now, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, did you know when you learn to flow on over into praise, the Holy Spirit will give you songs? Yeah, how many of you have had songs given to you? Oh, yeah. Songs that no one else has ever received. And isn't that exciting? And when he gives you those songs, write them down. Yeah, write them down. Yeah, it's powerful. See, praise will bring you the victory. I said praise will bring you victory because there is power in praise. That's why God gave it to us. Now, this is college season, students getting ready to go back to college, and I was reminded of a time the Lord showed me to praise. I was wanting to go to the University of Alabama, roll tide, all right, to get my master's in social work, and that was a two-year program. I needed money. My parents didn't have money to send me. I didn't have zero either. So how was I supposed to go? So I applied for a two-year scholarship. And I hadn't heard anything. It was getting close to school to start. And the Lord, he showed me. He said, begin to pray. Come on now. Somebody ought to shout right there. I had zero in my hand. He said, begin to praise me. And he showed me how, because my little church out in the country, they didn't even know how to teach me nothing like what I'm teaching you all. But the Holy Spirit is the teacher. I said the Holy Spirit is the teacher. Holy Spirit is our helper. He's the one been sent to guarantee we get everything God has ordained for us to have. The Holy Spirit is our helper. So he showed me to begin to pray and just to begin to thank God. So I just lifted my hand. I began to say, oh, Lord, I thank you, Jesus. I thank you. I thank you. I thank you. And then he said, begin to see yourself already with the scholarship. And so I said, Lord, so I thank you. It's done. I thank you. It's done. And of course, it was done. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm an alumni of the University of Alabama. Roll Tide. Hallelujah. But I needed some victory. The Lord showed me how to receive it through praise. Now, it would be a sad thing for a person to come right up to whatever it is they need in life, the plan of God for their life, and they get right up there and stop short of receiving it. See, that's what can happen if we don't allow him to lead us over into what we need to do to take possession of that promise. But I thank God, he showed me. Mm-hmm. See, we praise God for his faithfulness to his word. They were singing about it today, the choir was. Praise will also bring healing. I used to not know that either. See, praise is a weapon of your warfare, saints. Praise is a weapon of your warfare. And warfare is in the earth. From the time Satan entered the Garden of Eden, warfare has been going on in the earth. And praise is a weapon. And so, I didn't know praise could bring divine healing, but the Holy Spirit knew. And so this was back some years ago, there was a knot under my arm, a big knot, and it was scary, and, And I told Pastor about it. He was got afraid, and he called his brother, who's a surgeon. And you know, a doctor said, he said, well, yeah, she needs to go to the doctor and let him cut it. Mm. I was like, no. Uh-uh. I don't believe in letting doctors cut me if I don't have to. That's like I told him in the first service when I was having tests, this was some years ago, and the doctors couldn't find out what was wrong with me, and they were running out. I let them run the tests, MRIs, and all that stuff. But found this doctor, he still couldn't find out what was wrong. And so he said, well, I tell you what I'm going to do next. I'm going to stick a needle in your head. I said, no, you're not. No, you're not. See, I don't just let doctors tell me what to do. You know, sometimes they tell me, I think I'm a doctor too. You know, from down home, down south, you know, we learn how to doctor. I got a brother, he sure never think he's a doctor. But see, I used to work in a hospital with doctors. And so I felt like I became one of them. And so and so that's why when doctors come to me, I look at them and they say what they are. I say, oh, no. Mm-mm. No, you don't tell me what to do. I tell you what I want you to do. And some of them don't like it. I remember when we first came in the military and I went to an army doctor. And I was pregnant, and he was saying he wanted to do some kind of test to see if the baby had Down syndrome. It's a routine. I said, nope. I know my baby ain't got no Down syndrome. I ain't taking no test, because I didn't know what his test may do to the baby. And guess what he said? He got upset. He said, we're not here for you anyway. We're just here for the soldier. But anyway, getting back to the big knot that was under my arm, I'm like, okay, now let me turn to Jesus. Amen. Let me turn to Jesus, my healer, because I ain't letting no doctor cut me under my arm. And, you know, the Lord, he'll meet you right where you are when you turn to him. And so he gave me a dream. And in the dream, he showed me to praise him. I tell you, I didn't know I could receive divine healing through praise. And so after I had the dream, I just did that. When I woke up, I just began to praise God. And so, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Jesus, for him. Let the Holy Spirit. See, that's one thing about it. When he leads me to praise, then I look to the Holy Spirit to show me how to praise, whether it's to run or whether it's to dance or whether it's to sing, or whether it's just to lift my hands and say, Lord, I thank you, I thank you. Whatever he said, because the Holy Spirit is the one who leads me. And so I just did what he showed me to do. Of course I was healed. I didn't have to go let no surgeon cut my arm. Hey, hey! Praise will bring healing! Yes! Of course, let's go to Acts 16. Pastor read this one last Sunday, Acts 16, 25. This is when Paul and Silas, it was at midnight. And see, you may experience a midnight in your life. It may be very dark, but it doesn't matter. I said it doesn't matter if it's midnight. It was at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praise to God, and the prisoners heard them. 26. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. Immediately all the doors were open, and everyone's bands were loosed. See, the power of God showed up. And another Tulsa story. I was in a car accident on my way to Bible school. I was from the country, and I was getting ready to turn and realized it was a two-lane road and didn't see the car and it was hit. God protected me, no, but the car was total. So while I'm sitting there waiting for the police to come, the Holy Spirit brought this very scripture to me. See, he leads us through the scripture, through the word. And so whenever anything occurs in your life, the first thing you to do is run to him and allow him to show you what the word says. And he brought the scripture to me that at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises. And he showed me to act on that word. So sitting right there in my car, I began to praise God and thinking, and I needed a miracle. I live 13 miles from Bible school. So how in the world am I going to get there 13 miles away? I couldn't walk. They don't allow you to miss 2 days and you'd be out. You wouldn't be able to graduate. So I needed a miracle. He performed it. Yeah, because I praised first. You see, it doesn't matter how bad it is or what your situation is. The first thing you want to do is run to the Lord. I never forget, years ago, I had a brother who was killed in an explosion at a chemical plant down in Alabama. We have no warning. Young man, young child, just got a call saying he'd been killed in an explosion. It was all over the news, yeah. And anyway, when you hear something like that, that's a midnight. That's a midnight. So what are you going to do? What are you going to do? Well, the Lord had shown me through practice, the first thing you do, you run to the Lord. Fall on your face, begin to worship him. So that's what I did. That's what I did. And do you know the Lord, he took away that grief. When I was at the funeral, there was some of the people who worked with him. They came, they said, you must be his sister because you're full of joy. And my brother was always the life of the party. God did it supernaturally. I came through the grief process, laying down my face. How many of you know grief process, it can take a while. First, you know, you'll go through disbelief, then now, and all that stuff. Let me tell you something now. My mother and my sister, they didn't have the word I had. They didn't go through it. They were still stuck in grief a year later. You know what they were saying? They said, that wasn't our brother in that casket. He faked his death, and that wasn't even him, and it was somebody else. Can you imagine that? Yeah, because they didn't know how to run to the word. I didn't get stuck in grief. Praise caused joy to rise up in me. Why would he forsake me when I have a loss? Wouldn't that be terrible? Why would you expect God to forsake you when you have a loss in your life? When you have a problem. See, the devil is the one who tells us that God will leave us, but he doesn't. 2 Chronicles, let's look at that scripture. I love this one. It's about Jehoshaphat. 2 Chronicles 20. We'll start at verse 21. Three armies was coming against that man. Three. But the Lord told you don't need to fight in this battle because the battle is not yours, but the Lord's. And that needs to be our attitude. If something start coming against you, it is not your battle. It is the Lord. So all you have to do is just praise. And so verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed singers unto the Lord, and that should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army, and to say, praise the Lord, for his mercy endures forever. And when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushments against the children of Ammon. Wow, God set ambushments against them. And then verse 25, and they were, the latter part of that verse, they were 3 days gathering of the spoil, all of the wealth. It took them 3 days to gather it up. But think about it. If they had tried to fight that battle in the natural, they would have lost. But they recognized they had a covenant with God. God had made a covenant with Abraham that passed on down through the generations. And that covenant was based on the blood of animals. But that's why they could expect God to do it for them. Because of the blood covenant. We have a covenant with God too. The new covenant that was cut with the blood of Jesus. That's why we can come boldly before the throne of grace. But the devil, the first thing he'll do when you got a problem, some you going through it, or you need God to do something for you, the devil gets you looking at yourself saying, well, you know you hadn't been good enough. You know you did that the other day. You sinned. You missed it. You did all that stuff. He's trying to talk you out of the truth. You're not coming to get help from him based on you, your goodness, your good works. You coming to get it based on the blood of Jesus. Jesus' blood. See, this Bible, the New Covenant, is a legal document. See, now we don't live under the Old Covenant. Some people get all confused and they try to live under the Old Covenant. But when you start Romans all the way through Jude, those are the letters that give us clearly what legally belongs to us because of the blood covenant. And God honors his word because of the covenant. I remember 7 years ago, I was flying. I used to have a fear flight. Oh, Lord. I won't tell you about all the fears. Those who come to my class, you get to hear it. Foundations for life. But anyway, one of my fears was fear of flying. And I'm flying. Once you get up in the air, and see, I'm standing on Psalm 91. He's giving his angels charge over me to keep me on my way. But once you're way up in the air, and if that plane falls, you know, boom. And so I remember I said to the Lord, don't miss this, saints. I said, how do I know Psalm 91 will work when I'm way up here in the air? I said, how do I know Psalm 91 will work? And guess what the Lord spoke to me and said? It will work because of the covenant. The covenant that God cut with us can never be altered. That's why all the promises of God are yes and amen. Woo! That's why you should be able to first of all shout over the promises. I say when you get a revelation of the covenant, you begin to shout over the promises because you know everything he said to you. It belongs to you and you can expect it. That's what Christianity is all about. Hallelujah. Now, another Tulsa story. I think all my stories Tulsa today, pretty much. Pastor and I, we had taken the first church, and it had a parsonage. That means they provide a house for you. And so we needed furniture. We didn't have any furniture. We were sleeping on like an air mattress. And so we went down to a store, and they said, no, you don't qualify no credit. We're not going to let you have no furniture on credit. So we're like, well, what are we going to do? Y'all heard Rent-A-Center? Oh, Lord. All right. We had gone down to Rent-A-Center and pick out some of that furniture. You know, they did a contract and everything. And we were like, well, we guess this is what we have to have. But the Lord let us come across a teaching by Brother Hagin. And Pastor and I listened to it. And Hagin was talking about the praise cure. He was talking about what I'm telling you now, how you can praise God and God will supernaturally step in and bring you victory when your back is up against the wall. Praise will open the door for God to enter and change things for you. And so there we were. We praised. We ran all over that house that night praising God, you know. And the next day, here I am. I think it was the next day. I'm sitting at my desk because I worked at the hospital, medical social worker. Got a phone call from the Rent-A-Center. And they say, we went out to deliver that furniture, and that house was so bad, we couldn't deliver it. I don't know what they were talking about. The house, the Parsons, was a 3-bedroom brick house. It was not. So I don't know. I didn't need to know what they were talking about. Because once you sign a contract, you can't get out of that contract. But God, do you see the supernatural power, God? They said, we will not deliver it. And I realized God has worked a miracle. So at the end of the day, when I told Pastor, I said, oh, God has worked a miracle now. They said they would not deliver that Rent-A-Center furniture. I mean, God is a supernatural God. So then we went on down to probably the number one furniture store in Tulsa, Manhattan. Doesn't that sound nice? Manhattan Furniture. And we told them what we wanted. And we told them we wanted on credit. And they gave it to us. Woo! I say when you praise, the power of God is released. That hadn't passed away. And see, we want to learn to practice praising God at home. You want to be, that's why I'm up here today, period, is so that you learn to make praise a lifestyle. A lifestyle. So that every day you walk in the presence of the Lord. And I remember I learned that from my mother. My mother, I would hear her get up early in the morning. And she would begin to sing. She was at a feet washing church. Some of y'all know what the feet washing church are? Yeah, and they call it moaning. And she would get up. But I thank God for that, because you know what she was doing? It was training me how to praise. I would listen to her praise. And she said, oh, he woke me up early this morning. Oh, he woke me up early this morning. And he started me on my way. She would be singing. Hallelujah. She would be singing, praising the Lord. And I tell you, the Lord did make a way. You see, people don't get divorces where there's a house filled with praise. I say, people don't get divorces where there's a house filled with praise. My mother and father had issues. She had a step alcoholic father, and then my father, he was born out of wedlock. So they had issues. He had a rejection issue, and so did she. My father's mother, she used to keep house for this man, and he got her pregnant, and so he had a lot of land. He later left land for his father was not married to his mother, okay? But when the father died, he left land and a house for my father. And my father moved in. This is when he became an adult. But the brothers, the real brothers of the house, you understand me? They were not going to have that. And so they threatened to burn the house down and told him he better get out of there. And so he left. So there he was, abandoned, running. So a lot of rejection. So I said this to say, you know, they had to have some issues they had to work through, because damn, my daddy was poor. Because he was cast out of his inheritance. Okay? And so they had abandonment issues, rejection issues. There they were being married together. But I'm telling you, my mother knew how to praise. Do you know how long they were married? 71 years. Hey! 71 years! That's what I say. If there's praise in a house, if there's praise, I'm telling y'all how to make your marriage work. I'm telling you how to have a wonderful marriage and how to stay married forever. Yeah, keep the house filled with praise. Mm-hmm. See, the devil can't stay around worship. He can't stay around worship. If you've been having trouble with the devil, I'm showing you how to put him out. Put him out of your mind. Put him out of your children. See, praise confuses the devil. But he will confuse you if there is no worship. And in Isaiah 61:3 says, he's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Spirit of heaviness is like depression. No Christian has to be bound by depression. No form at all. We've been given the garment of praise. And we're to put it on. It's been given to us freely. And we're to wear it. And realize that it looks good on us. You see, we have to put it on. God's not going to put it on us. We put it on. He's given us the authority to put it on. And what we want to do is maintain an attitude of praise. maintain an attitude of praise. Wow. Now let's look at Psalm 118. Then I'm going to get ready to close out. Psalm 118. Because what you want to do is meditate on the scriptures to build the revelation in your soul concerning praise. Psalm 118, 19. Open to me the gates of righteousness. I will go into them and I will praise the Lord. And last time I preached, I told you, you've been made righteous. And you to put on your garment of praise. And verse 24, this is the day which the Lord has made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. Think about it. When you get up in the morning time, you need to get up saying that, oh, this is the day. Sometimes you may get up thinking, oh, Lord, I don't want to go to work today. Oh, Lord, I got to get up and go work today. I sure don't want to have to go. Well, see, you get this scripture. You say, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Woo! And you just begin to praise. Throw your praise party early in the morning. And then verse 27 says, God is the Lord which had showed us light. Bind the sacrifice was caused, even unto the horns of the altar. And back then, they had to bring the animals to sacrifice. But now all we do is bring the sacrifice of praise. We don't have to bring animals. And verse 28 says, Thou art my God, and I will praise thee. Thou art my God, I will exalt thee. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he's good, for his mercy endures forever. Wow. So sometimes what you can do is just begin to read the scriptures to yourself and just praise with the scripture. But yes, if you want to start your day out right, I say, if you want to start your day out right, then you get up, quote, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Hallelujah. And you know what you're doing? You're taking control of your day. You're taking control of your day. God has called us to have authority and take control of our day. Not for the devil. You see, if you get up in the morning time and you're feeling weary and discouraged, and then the devil is sitting right there, he'll start talking to you. And then he'll tell you, oh, child, you need you some coffee now. You better go and get you some coffee, because when you get your coffee, it's going to perk you up and help you be able to make it through the day. And when he gets through, you have to drink 12 cups of coffee before the day is over. But I'm telling you the word. The word, no side effects. No side effects. I just say right there, I ain't trying to pick on y'all's coffee. You drink coffee as long as you want to drink coffee. But I remember when I used to drink coffee. I was doing what the nurse should do. Come in first thing in the morning. Get me a cup of coffee. Oh, get my day started. Then my hands would be shaking. See, I was drinking on an empty stomach. And I got one of the doctor's medical journals, and I started reading in there, and I saw where it said coffee is a drug. Caffeine's a drug. I was like, what? I'm not me. I'm holy. I can't be using no drug. And so I let go of that coffee with the caffeine. I went to decaffeinated coffee. Decaffeinated, okay? But I said all that to say, when we run to the word, this is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And next thing you know, joy will start rising up inside of you. And then you'll take control of your day. When you go out, you're not going out a victim of your day. You're going out victorious. Victorious. You're going out being the light. Hallelujah. And that's powerful, because there's power in praise. It would change your life. It would change your circumstances. Yeah.